Lika speciellt bröts brytelsen i andra menigheter.
When the brethren stand up and tell the Lord how wonderful he is.
När bröderna reser sig och berättar Herren hur härlig och underfull han är.
Because I don't know the brethren.
Because
I don't know the brethren.
Jag känner inte bröderna.
You see, the brethren I know.
För de bröderna jag känner.
Sometimes I think, what is he talking like that for?
Så tänker jag, varför snackar han sånt så det?
You see, it's wonderful to be ignorant.
För det är, du ser det är fantastiskt att vara ovetande av det.
Of the problems other people have.
Om det är problemen som andra folk har.
It's wonderful to see different ways of doing things.
Och det är härligt att se andra måter att göra ting på.
I work in a Catholic country.
Jag arbetar i ett katolskt land.
And probably our Christians are allergic to candles, you see.
Och sannolikt är folken i våra allergiska mot stearinljus.
We have candles at Christmas time.
Vi har stearinljus när det är jul.
But a special candle in the Catholic Church means that God is home this Sunday, you see.
Men ett speciellt ljus i den katolska kyrkan betyder att Gud är hemma denna söndagen.
And you light a candle, and as long as the candle burns, your prayer is being heard by God.
Och så tänder du ett ljus, och så länge detta ljus bränner så blir bönen den hört av Gud.
Now that's funny in some Catholic countries.
Det är morsamt i någon katolska land.
Because Catholics have sticky fingers.
För de katoliker de har klistrade fingrar.
In Italy, I went into a Catholic church and I saw the candles and I heard something tick 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 tick.
I Italien en gång så gick jag in i katolska kyrkan så såg jag lysna så hörde jag tick 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 tick.
And I looked at the candles.
Och så såg jag på lysna.
And they were electric.
Så var de elektriska.
You put in a euro.
Du stoppade på en euro.
And it tick 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 tick. And the light comes on, you see.
Kom lyset på.
And as long as the light's on, your prayer is being heard by God, you see.
Så länge det lyste så blev bönen din hört av Gud.
Well, in Salzburg, they're not so primitive. They don't steal the candles.
In Salzburg, det är inte så primitivt. De stjäl inte stearin lysna.
But when my son Joshua was about this big, we were visiting the big Catholic cathedral to see the works of art and idols, etc.
Men när sonen min Joshua var liten så besökte man den stora katedralen för att se på konstverken och det och allt annat.
And suddenly, we saw Joshua was gone.
Och så precis så upptäckte man att Joshua var väcka.
Now this is a big church.
Och det är en stor kyrka.
So I'm getting nervous looking for my son.
Så jag blev nervös och lette efter sonen min.
He doesn't speak German yet, you see.
Han snackade inte tyska ännu.
And we found him.
Och så fann man.
He was in front of a big altar.
Han stod framför ett stort altar.
And he blew out all the candles. And I thought to me, I said to David tonight, those poor people in purgatory. Still there because he blew out their candles. But I know you don't attach any of that foolishness to these things. That's just a wonderful decoration.
Men jag vet att du inte tänker på sådana ting när det gäller dessa ting in här. Det är bara en fantastisk dekoration.
Okay, that was the funny part tonight. That's over. Aaliyah, you can go to sleep now. I told him to bring a pillow. We are in the middle of the book of Genesis, or not quite.
Men runt mitten på första Mosebok.
And we want to review just a little bit about what we saw last night.
Vi vill bara repetera lite grann det som vi såg i går kväll.
And this summary will help us in chapter 14 and 15.
Och denna uppsummeringen vill hjälpa oss i kapitel 14 och 15.
We saw that in chapter 12 verses 1 to 3 God called Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia.
Men så i kapitel 12, vers 1-3, att Gud kallade Abraham mens han var i Mesopotamia.
We learn that from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 1-3.
Med lära av Josua 24, 1-3.
And the first verses of Stephen's sermon in Acts 7.
Och det första versen i Stefanus tale i Apostlagärningarna 7.
So we're not exactly chronological here.
Så det är inte helt kronologiskt som det står i första Mosebok.
In chapter 11, the family, the big family, is still in the land of Mesopotamia.
I kapitel 11 så är storfamiljen fortfarande i Mesopotamia.
And Abram's brother Haran dies.
Abrahams bror Haran dör.
And then Terah takes Abraham and Nahor and their families and Lot, the son of Terah.
Så tar Haran. med sig Abraham och Lot, var sönnen till Haran.
And they travel up north on their way to the promised land.
Och så reser de mot nord på vägen mot det löftets land.
And there they stopped.
Och så stoppade de där.
They must have had a going business.
De må ha haft ganska bra förrättningar gående där.
Because the town was named after the dead son of Terah.
För att byn blev uppkallt efter den avdöde sonen till Tara.
Very important people.
Det var väldigt viktiga.
And their possessions increased.
Och egendomarna deras ökte bara.
And Abraham got himself married to a princess of a woman. That's what her name was.
Och Abraham blev gift med en prinsessa av en kona. Det är det namnet hans betyder.
And he hesitates.
Och så nölar han.
How long? I don't know.
Jag vet inte hur länge.
Was it 10 years?
Var det 10 år?
You don't get rich in 10 years.
Du blir inte rik på 10 år.
Until today in stock market and technologies.
Inte i vår tid med aktiemarked och teknologi.
It takes a cattle breeder a long time to get rich.
Men en som driver med kvegrökt, han tar det lång tid att bli rik.
So although God had told him, go to the land that I will show you, here he stops halfway and he's accumulating goods and becoming a great man.
Så själv om Gud hade kallat han till att gå till det landet som han ville visa han, så finner du han här, han stoppte här och blev en, samlade sig upp gott, så blev en rik man.
And evidently, only when his father died.
Och till synlåtande så var det inte för faren du.
Was Abraham jolted back into reality and resumed his journey to the promised land.
Att Abraham med ett ryck vaknade upp till realiteten och fortsatte vägen, resan mot det lovade landet.
We would be well to heed this warning.
Och med er väl i att höra på den advarseln.
That it's entirely possible to spend our most productive years accumulating goods, getting family situated, getting our security taken care of.
Att det är fullt möjligt för oss att bruka de mest produktiva åren i livet vårt på att samla oss gods och organisera familjen vår och ordna på allt sånt.
While our journey to the eternal city sort of gets put on the back burner.
Mens resan vår till den eviga staden, den blir på måttet sett på sparebluss.
Then we saw Abraham come into the land and renew his relationship with God.
Och så ser du Abraham komma in i landet och få nya förhåll sitt till Gud.
Only to leave the land again and go to the land of Egypt because business was not faring well.
Men inte för han kom till landet så förlot han igen och reste ner till Egypt, för det gick inte bra med förrättningarna hans.
And there the man looking for the city with foundations tells a half-truth, denies his beautiful wife for number one, material gain, and number two, personal security. That's what the text says. What kind of city are you looking for, Abram? What kind of a new society could it be? If it's built upon the foundations of a half-truth and disloyalty to the one of the holiest relationships.
Och illojalitet emot ett av de mest heliga förhållanden.
And so I had to remind myself.
Så jag måste minna mig själv.
Although I've not done exactly what he did.
Själv har jag inte gjort nöjaktigt det som han gjorde.
That there have been times.
Att det har varit tio.
For the sake of my reputation.
Att på grund av mitt goda namn och rykte.
Because I didn't want to be ridiculed and made fun of.
För att jag inte ville bli latterliggjort och ledd av.
That I've denied the most beautiful thing in the world.
Att jag har förnektat det vackraste i denna världen.
Maybe not as overtly as Peter did.
Kanske inte så rätt ut som Peter gjorde.
I've actually not confessed the Lord Jesus.
Men jag går det att jag faktiskt inte bekände Herren Jesus.
And so he gets even richer. And his riches cause a problem with his nephew Lot.
Och så blir han ännu rikare och så skapar rikdomen hans problem med nevön hans Lot.
Lot heads for the south land.
Og Lot han legger vei mot sør.
Where the cities are.
Der byene er.
It was a good business decision.
Det var en god forretningsavgjørelse.
There were a lot of pasture there. There was a lot of pasture there.
Det var mye beitemark der.
But Lot made a decision, lifting up his eyes to make a big profit, and he ended up losing his family.
Lot han løftet øynene sine, så gjorde han, tok han en avgjørelse om å tjene mye penger, og så mistet han familien sin på den måten.
Not every wise financial move is wise.
Det ikke sånn at enhver vise finansielle avgjørelse vise I virkeligheten.
Wisdom is knowing and utilizing the best possible means to reach a desired end.
Og visdom det bruker de best mulige midlene for å oppnå et ønsket mål.
I've had the great privilege of leading many people to the Lord.
Jeg har hatt det store privilegiet å lede mange mennesker til Herren.
But if you gave me the choice of leading many people to the Lord or leading my family to the Lord the way Noah did.
Men hvis du ga meg valget med å lede mange mennesker til Herren eller lede familien min til Herren, så
I'd choose my family.
Så ville jeg valgt familien min.
I think many Christians today under the pressure of financial constraints.
Jeg tror at mange kristne I dag under press av finansielle begrensninger.
And sometimes because they want to be able to take the vacations they wanted to take, and they wanted to build the house that they've always dreamed of.
Og av og til på grunn av at de har lyst til å reise på de feriene som de alltid ønsker seg, eller de vil bygge det huset som de alltid drømte om.
They made career moves and financial moves that have jeopardized their family.
Så har de gjort karriere, tatt karriereavgjørelser og gjort finansielle avgjørelser som har
Our movement is only 35 years old.
Vår bevegelse bare 35 år gammel.
We're still, the leaders are first generation Christians.
Lederne første generasjons kristne.
The parents of the young children are either their children or younger ones, much younger than the leaders of the movement.
Og foreldrene til de små ungene, enten ungene deres, eller enda yngre, mye yngre enn de som leder bevegelsen.
But as more and more mothers have chosen a vocation outside the home,
Men etter hvert så flere mødre har valgt å ha et yrke utenfor hjemmet.
What we are seeing in our churches is a weak knowledge of scripture with the children.
Så har vi begynt å se I menigheten våre svake bibelkunnskap iblant ungene.
A shakiness with Christian values.
De blir en vaklende når det gjelder kristne verdier.
Because we're competing with schools, ungodly values.
For vi konkurrerer med skoler og ugudelige verdier.
Be careful, brother, be careful, sister, about the decisions you make.
Bror og søster, med de avgjørelsene du tar.
They may be luscious pastures.
Det kan være flotte enger og marker.
But Lot's decision proved to be a disaster.
Men Lot sin avgjørelse viste seg å være en katastrofe.
And so God shows Abraham his inheritance and tells him to enjoy it and think about it.
Så viser Gud Abraham ham arven hans og ber han om å glede seg over det og tenke på det.
Just like God would have us do.
Det akkurat sånn som Gud vil at vi skal gjøre.
Like old Saint Paul wrote, he said to those Ephesians, having written to them lofty truths.
Som gamle Paulus sa, han skrev til feserne om de høye sannhetene.
He begins to pray for him because you have to pray these lawful truths into your life.
Så begynte han å be for dem, for du må be disse høye sannhetene inn I livet ditt.
First time I read the book of Ephesians, I thought, wow.
Første gang jeg leste Efeserbrevet, så tenkte jeg, wow.
I thought the Pentecostals spoke in tongues. This is tongues to me.
Jeg trodde at pinsevennene talte I tunger, men dette tungetale for meg.
And so then I began to understand why Paul prayed this prayer.
Og så begynte jeg å forstå hvorfor Paulus ba denne bønnen.
He said, I pray to the God and Father of my Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, every time I remember you.
Han sier at jeg ber til Gud, vår Herre Jesus Kristi far, hver gang jeg tenker på dere.
That the Spirit of no, that the Spirit of God would enlighten the eyes of your heart.
At Guds ånd må opplyse hjertene I øynene til hjertene deres.
So that you might know and understand the hope of his calling.
Så at dere kan kjenne og forstå hva håp dere kalte.
He's called you.
Han har kalt dere.
What is the hope of his calling? What has he called you to?
Hva håpet kaller? Hva han har kalt dere til?
I pray and I beg God every time I think of you that you might come to grips with that. That might capture your imagination and your heart.
Jeg ber og trygler Gud hver gang jeg tenker på det, at dere må få tak i dette, at dere må gripe tak i hjertene deres.
I hope that you might see how exceedingly rich God feels having you.
Jeg ber om at dere må få se hvor fantastisk rik Gud føler seg I det å ha dere.
That you might understand the power of the resurrection of Christ toward you.
Og at dere kan forstå kraften I Jesu oppstandelse mot dere.
Those are not abstractions.
Dette ikke abstrakte ting.
Those are spiritual realities.
Det åndelige realiteter.
But it's easy to know your Bible in a way, and these things have not captured your heart and your imagination.
Men det lett å kjenne Bibelen sin på en sånn måte at dette her ikke har fått disse tingene, ikke har fått fanget hjertet.
And then after chapter 2, my goodness. And then chapter 3, you know, you're reading and saying, wow, man.
Og etter kapittel 2 og kapittel 3, så leser du, wow.
He says that, you know, now I'm going to take time, I'm going to bow my knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Så sier han, nå må jeg ta meg tid, og så må jeg bøye kneet framfor meg.
That he might strengthen your inner man by his spirit.
At han må styrke deres indre menneske ved sin ånd.
You say, you guys, we're so weak.
For du ser at vi så svake.
We're not able to understand because we're so weak, and the Holy Spirit has to strengthen our hearts that we might understand.
For vi så svake at vi ikke kan forstå, vi trenger at Guds ånd styrker oss så sånn at vi forstår.
This great mystery of Christ.
Denne store hemmeligheten om Kristus.
He says, may the Holy Spirit strengthen your inner man so that Christ might dwell in our hearts.
Må Gud styrke deres indre menneske så at Kristus kan bo I hjertene deres.
Yeah, you say, Christ is in me anyway.
Ja, men sier du, Kristus jo I meg uansett.
Well, Paul is saying, I would like for him to feel at home there.
Men Paulus sier at jeg kunne tenkt meg at han følte seg hjemme.
That he could unpack his bags.
At han kan pakke ut koffertene sine.
And move in.
Og flytte inn.
And take up more room in your mental and spiritual life.
Og ta mer plass I ditt mentale og åndelige liv.
So that you, together with all the other believers,
så sånn at du I lag med alle andre troende,
might know the unknowable.
Kan kjenne det som ukjennelig.
That you might know the depth and the height and the length and the breadth.
At du kan kjenne dybden og høyden og lengden og bredden.
Like old Abraham.
Som gamle Abraham.
Exploring the north and coming back to the south. And
som utforsker I nord og så kommer han tilbake til sør.
Pitching his tents toward the Mediterranean and back toward the Jordan.
Og så slo han opp teltene mot Middelhavet og så reiste han tilbake og slo de opp med Jordan.
Seeing the extent of what God has planned for him and his people.
Og så utstrekningen av det som Gud hadde planlagt for ham og hans folk.
And so for you and your people who we are.
Og for deg og hans folk som vi
God would want to by his Holy Spirit strengthen us.
Så ville Gud ved sin hellige ånd styrke oss.
So we would see how unspeakably wealthy we are.
At vi kan se hvor fantastisk rike vi.
To share together
og dele Christ. Kristus.
And to know the unknowable.
Og kjenne det som ikke kan kjennes.
The love of Christ.
Kristi kjærlighet.
You know, I think about all those little babies. I mean, we had 9 of them and 8 survived.
Jeg tenker på alle disse babyene. Vi har fått 9 av de, 8 av de overlevde.
Some of them now are 1 meter, 95 centimeter babies.
Noen av dem er 95 høye babyer, nei, men menn.
And I was thinking about one of those babies. Peggy and I hadn't had a date together for months, you see.
Jeg tenker på en av de babyene. Peggy, jeg hadde ikke hatt en date sammen på måneder.
Because she always had to take care of this baby.
For hun måtte alltid passe på denne babyen.
And we had a girlfriend who also had a baby.
Og så hadde vi en venninne som også hadde en baby.
So she was totally equipped to take care of our baby.
Så hun var helt fullstendig godt utstyrt til å ta vare på babyen.
And so we lent our baby to this lady so we could go have a date.
Så vi lånte vekk babyen vår til denne dame for sånn at vi kunne ha en date.
Trouble is our girlfriend was Japanese.
Problemet var at venninnen vår var japansk.
And so little Jennifer was crying and Joanne picked up Jennifer and put her on her breast.
Og Jennifer, hun grein, og Joanne tok opp litt stakkars Jennifer.
And you know how that goes, you know.
Du vet hvordan det virker.
I've watched all kinds of animals. They do it all the same way. And all of a sudden,
alle gjør på samme måten, dyr og mennesker.
That little baby realized something's wrong.
Og plutselig så oppdagte denne babyen at det her noe som ikke stemmer.
That's not my mama.
Dette ikke min mamma.
And so she looked up and saw this Japanese face.
Og så ser opp og ser dette japanske ansiktet.
And we got a telephone call. It's time to come home from our day.
Men fikk en telefon og bringe meg til det.
Now I want to tell you something.
Jeg skal fortelle deg noe.
I know the love of Peggy.
Jeg kjenner Peggy sin kjærlighet.
Well, that baby did too.
Men denne babyen gjorde det også.
In a way, it comprehended the incomprehensible.
På en måte så forstod den det uforståelige.
That baby knew the unknowable.
Og denne babyen kjente det som var ukjent.
There's so much more to know.
Det er så mye mer å kjenne.
And this is a personal relationship.
Og det er et personligt forhold det handler om.
Now that's the kind of thing that Paul would think about if he was reading this chapter of Genesis.
Og det er sånne ting som Paulus ville tenkt på hvis han leste dette kapittelet i første Mosebok.
Become serious about your spiritual life.
Ta det åndelige livet ditt på alvor.
Get on your knees. You don't understand a Bible verse.
Kom deg ned på kne. Forstår du ikke et bibelvers?
Talk to God about it.
Snakk med Gud om det.
You don't quite understand what it means to abide in Christ.
Vet du ikke helt hva det
betyr? Plead with God that God might open your eyes.
Vet du ikke helt hva det betyr å bli i Kristus? Bønnfall Gud om å åpne øynene dine.
For your own sake, go to the north and the south and the east and the west.
For din egen del, reis mot nord og sør og øst og vest.
And so God is renewing the vision of Abraham.
Så Gud fornyer er synet til Abraham.
Who's lapsed into weakness again, like we do again and again.
Så har falt ned i svakhet igjen, som vi også gjør om og om igjen.
And so he showing him the greatness of his calling.
Så viser han storheten i hans kall.
And as we said last night, finally, one of the big temptations of his life.
Og som jeg sa til slutt i år, kveld, en av de store fristelsene i livet hans.
A man who had repeatedly put possessions before people.
En mann som gjentatte ganger hadde sett eiendom framfor folk.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Det er sprøtt, er det ikke?
People love things.
Folk elsker ting.
And they tend to use people.
Og så pleier de å bruke folk.
When God intended us to use things and love people.
Men Gud ville at vi skulle elske folk.
But then it's not that easy, is it, as you get on in life.
Men det er ikke så enkelt når du går videre i livet.
There is an issue of making enough money, of making taking care of your of what God is giving you.
Då börjar du tjäna upp på barn där och så tjäna nog pengar att ta vara på det som Gud har gett dig.
But Abraham had consistently put possessions before lives, is the Hebrew word here, or souls, we would say people.
Men Abraham hade konsekvent sett eiendeler framför folk, liv eller själar, så det står på hebraisk.
He took his little army.
Han tog den lilla hären sin.
He attacked them at night.
Angrep dem om natten.
Chased them all the way to Damascus.
Förföljde dem hela vägen till Damaskus.
Look at a map. That's a long ride on a camel.
Se på kartan, det är en lång ritur på kamel.
Comes back.
Så kommer han tillbaka igen.
With Lot.
I samma lott.
And his possession.
Och hans eiendelar.
And the women.
Och kvinnorna.
Women like to be put first.
Kvinnor är lika, blir sett först.
Abraham put him third.
Abraham sätter dem på tredje plats.
And the king of Sodom visits him, comes out to meet him.
Kungen i Sodoma kommer ut för att möta.
Offering him all the possessions, if only he could have the people back.
Och tillbjuder han allt gods och alla egendelar, hvis han bara kunde få folket sinne tillbaka.
But at the right time.
Men på akkurat i rätt ögonblick.
The priest appears with a ceremonial meal.
Så det en prest som viser seg med et ceremonielt måltid.
This is not just bread and wine.
Dette ikke bare brød og vin.
As important as that was.
Så viktig som det var.
This is a geriatric case riding a camel.
Dette et geriatrisk tilfelle som rir på en kamel.
He's ridden for hundreds of miles now.
Han har ridd i hundrevis av kilometer nå.
You ever ridden a camel?
Har du noen ridd på en kamel?
That's pretty crazy experience, you know.
Det ganske sprø opplevelse.
Hundreds of miles, you know. My back is killing me, you know.
Ryggen min tar liv av meg.
And he's worn out.
Og han utslitt.
He needed that bread and wine.
Han trengte det brød og vin.
But it was more than bread and wine.
Men det var mer enn brød og vin.
It was a special, anointed, spiritual meal.
Men det var et spesielt, salvet, åndelig måltid.
And that priest painted God before his eyes.
Og denne presten malte Gud framfor øynene hans.
You know, as I read Abraham, I think he needed some exhortation.
Når jeg leser Abraham, så tenker jeg at han kunne trengt litt formaning.
Come on, Abraham, you get your act together.
Kom an, Abraham, ta deg sammen nå.
What kind of a spiritual man are you?
Hva slags åndelig mann du?
Don't you know this? And
vet du ikke dette?
Your priorities are wrong. And
prioriteringene dine feil.
How are you going to ever be a man of faith if you keep living like this?
Hvordan kan du bli en troens mann hvis du lever sånn som dette?
Yeah, I think people need exhortation once in a while.
Jeg tror at folk trenger formaning av og til.
I probably need it more than you.
Jeg trenger det kanskje mer enn dere.
Maybe once a month.
Kanskje en gang i morgen.
I need encouragement every day.
Jeg trenger oppmuntring hver dag.
You know, sometimes we get that backward, don't we?
Av og til snur man på de to tingene.
A man has failed.
En mann har sviktet.
He has a weakness.
Han har en svakhet.
And the priest has the good sense to remind him of the vision, the God who has called him.
Det minner ham på det synet som Gud hadde kalt ham til.
To paint God before his eyes in bold colors.
Og maler Gud framfor øynene hans i sterke farger.
He is God the Most High.
Han Gud, den høyeste Gud.
Yeah, and that's Middle Eastern scene. There are all kinds of gods, and you used to worship them too, Abraham.
I denne Midtøsten som sitt avsett Gud, og du pleide tilbe deg også, Abraham.
What does he say? Abraham, get your act together.
Hva er det han sier? Abraham, ta deg sammen.
No, he says, bless you.
Nei, velsigna være du, sier han.
By the Most High God.
Av den høyeste Gud.
The possessor. Your Bible might say creator.
Han som eier, din Bibel sier kanskje skaperen av.
It means that too.
Det betyr det også.
But in this context, the meaning possessor is more appropriate.
Men i denne sammenhengen ser i betydningen eier.
Of heaven and earth.
Eieren av himmel og jord.
And using those very words, Abram withstood the temptation.
Og på grunn av disse, med disse ordene, de samme ordene som motstod Abraham fristelsen.
I know that was a long review.
Jeg vet at det var en lang repetisjon.
But we have to get this down.
Men man må få dette her klart for oss.
We can't live on half-truths.
Vi kan ikke leve på halvsannheter.
We can't base our life on that.
Man kan ikke basere livet vårt på det.
If we have wrong priorities,
hvis man feil prioriterer,
in the issue of possessions,
prioriteringer når det
gjelder, it's going to cost us dearly.
Så kommer det til å koste oss dyrt.
You know, I know guys in churches down in Austria, sometimes they say, we don't talk about money in our church.
Av og til snakker vi med folk i Østerrike, så sier vi, snakker ikke om penger i vår menighet.
You know, Jesus talked more about money than he talked about heaven and hell.
Vet du at Jesus snakket mer om penger enn han snakket om himmel og helvete?
He talked more about the danger of possessions than he did about faith.
Han snakket mer
or salvation.
Om farene med eiendeler, han snakket om tro og frelse.
Because he understands our hearts.
For han kjenner hjertene våre.
It's not that God is checking out your bank account at this moment.
At Gud sjekker bankkontoen din i dette øyeblikk.
But he wants your heart.
Ikke sånt, men han vil ha tak i
hjertet. And your heart is where your treasure is.
Og hjertet ditt, det skatten din.
It's interesting, isn't it? He says, you can't serve God and mammon. You will hate the one and love the other.
Det er interessant, han sier at du kanskje kjenner Gud og mammon. Du vil hate den ene og elske den andre.
He doesn't want your money.
Han vil ikke ha pengene dine.
He wants your love.
Han vill ha kärleken.
He wants to be first place in your life.
Han vill ha första platsen i livet.
Leonard Bernstein was asked, "What is the most difficult instrument to play in the orchestra?"
Leonard Bernstein blev spurt, "Vad är det vanskligaste instrumentet att spela i ett orkester?"
He said, "Second fiddle."
Då säger han andra violin.
God does not want to play the second violin in your life. He wants to be the first.
Gud vill inte spela andra violin i livet ditt. Han vill vara första man.
Sorry.
Beklagar.
But we had to say that.
Men måste säga det.
David and me, that is. What do we know about this Melchizedek?
Vad vet man om denne Melchizedek?
He pops up out of nowhere.
Han dukar upp utav ingenting.
Some of us are old enough to remember Star Trek. Do you, any of you remember Star Trek?
Någon av dere som husker Star Trek?
Some of the young people know Star Trek.
Någon av de unge kjenner til Star Trek.
Now, what was really cool in Star Trek is they didn't have any computers back then.
Det som var kult med Star Trek, det var at de hadde ikke datamaskiner på det.
How did they do all those effects?
Hvordan lagde de alle disse effektene?
You know, people would be going to this cylinder in the spaceship, and all of a sudden they would start to go around, and all of a sudden they would disappear, and then they would appear down on the surface of the planet. Have you ever seen that?
Folk går inn i den cylinderen i romskipet, og så begynner den å spinne rundt, og så forsvinner de, og så dukker de opp på planeten.
All they did was take two cameras.
Alt de gjorde var å ta to kameraer.
And they would take a picture of the guy standing there, or the monster, whoever it was.
Så tog de bilder av hans karen som stod der, eller monsteret.
And superimpose it on a glass of water.
Og så projekterte de det på et vannglas.
And with a glass stab or whatever, they would stir up the water with the bubbles in it, and he would disappear. It was fantastic.
Så rørte de rundt i vannet med en glasstav, og så forsvant personen.
So as I read the Bible text,
så når jeg leser bibelteksten,
who is this guy Melchizedek?
Hvem er denne Melchizedek?
He just sort of gets beamed down out of the sky, it seems.
Det som han blir beamed ned.
There he is.
Plutselig er han der.
You think that's funny, don't you? I do too. But you know, that's the way I read the Bible.
Men det som jeg leser Bibelen.
Fantastic. It just appears out of nowhere, and then he disappears.
Det er fantastisk. Han dukker opp ut av ingenting, og så forsvinner han igjen.
You sort of leaves you wondering, who in the world was he? Well, the Bible tells you, he was a king of righteousness. That's what Melchizedek means. The king of Salem, or the king of peace.
Jo, så Bibelen var han var rettferdighetens konge, for det er det Melchizedek betyr.
He was priest of the Most High God.
Så var han en fredskonge, for han var konge i Salem.
Now there's only one of those.
Så var han prest for den høyeste Gud, og bare en av dem.
He wasn't a Hebrew.
Han var ikke en hebreer.
He wasn't of the people that God had chosen.
Han var ikke av det utvalgte folket.
It's like he came out of nowhere.
Like han dukket opp av ingenting.
And he disappeared into thin air.
Og så forløste han seg opp i luft.
You know, for 1,000 years.
I 1,000 år.
And then in Psalm 110, he reappears. He gets beamed down again.
Så dukker han opp igjen i Psalm 110, og blir beamet ned igjen.
Psalm 110, let's read the first, how many? The first five verses.
Det er det første fem versene. Herren sier til min Herre, sett deg ved min høyre hånd til jeg får lagt dine fiender som skammel for dine føtter. Fra Sion rekker Herren ut ditt mektige scepter. Du skal herske blant dine fiender. Folket ditt møter villig fram den dagen du viser din kraft. Din ungdomsdugg kommer til deg i hellig frakt fra morgenrødens fang. Herren har sverget og angret ikke. Du er prest til evig tid på Melkisedeks vis. Herren er ved din høyre hånd. Han knuser konger på sin vredes dag.
You know, this is the most quoted Old Testament verse in the whole Bible.
Vet du at det er det mest siterte gammeltestamentlige avsnittet i hele Bibelen?
This Melchizedek story.
Den her Melchizedek-fortellingen.
Funny.
Merkelig.
Jesus would quote this when he was talking to Pharisees.
Jesus, han pleide å sitere dette, eller ville sitere dette når han sa.
They believed in the Messiah.
De trodde på Messias.
And they believed that the Messiah was the son of David.
Og de trodde at Messias var Davids son.
So far, so good.
Så langt, så godt.
Who is the Christ, Jesus says?
Hvem Kristus, sier Jesus.
Well, the son of David.
Du Davids son.
Well, how could David say to his son, the Lord says to my Lord?
Men hvordan kan David si til sin sønn, Herren sier til min Herre?
Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies as a footstool to your, of your feet. Who could be greater than King David?
Hvem kunne være større enn kong David?
That set their head spinning.
Det fikk, fikk de til å bli forvirret.
A king greater than David.
En konge større enn David.
The Lord said to my Lord.
Herren sier til min Herre.
Could it be that this king is God?
Kan det være at denne kongen Gud?
Sit at my right hand until.
Sett deg ved min høyre hånd til.
What does that mean?
Hva betyr det?
The Lord has left the right hand of God.
Det betyr at Herren har forlatt Guds høyre hånd.
And now he's come back. And God has reinstalled him on his throne.
Og Gud har satt han på plass igjen på sin trone.
See what I mean?
Ser du hva jeg mener?
Here in this verse, we have the incarnation of our Lord and his return to the Father and his installment at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Her har vi i dette verset denne Herren sin inkarnasjon, og det at han vendte tilbake til far og ble satt på tronen igjen.
Until.
Inntil eller til.
That's an important verse.
Og det er viktig,
word.
Viktig ord.
You see, in the book of Matthew where this is quoted, the issue is how is Messiah, what's God's program for putting down evil in this world?
For i Matteus evangeliet dette blir sitert, er spørsmålet som blir stilt, hva Guds program for å få vekk ondskapen i verden?
When will he make his enemies a footstool for Messiah's feet?
Hva tid skal han gjøre sine fiender til en fotskammel for Messias sine føtter?
When will the Lord then stretch out his scepter from Zion, the city of David, and rule the nations?
Hva tid skal Herren strekke ut scepteret sitt på Sion, Davids by, og herske over nasjonene?
When will millions, read the text, millions like dew on the grass of young people come and willingly serve Messiah?
Hva tid kommer millioner, les teksten, som dog på graset villig kommer og tjener Messias?
Well, not yet.
Ikke ennå.
There's a time of until.
Det er en tid, så det heter til eller inntil.
We like that verse, the Lord Jesus will not extinguish the smoking flax.
Men liker det verset der står at Herren ikke skal slukke den rykende veken.
He will not break the bruised reed, will he?
Og ikke bryte det knekte graset.
And I know in some of our churches the brethren stand up and they talk about the Lord is so gentle and so wonderful. He will not extinguish the wick, the smoking wick.
Og jeg vet at det er menighet at det brødrene reiser seg opp og sier at Herren han er så god og barmhjertig og forsiktig at han kommer ikke til å slukke den rykende veken.
Nor will he break the bruised rod.
Og han skal ikke heller knekke det brekte gras.
And then Matthew writes these words, until.
Og så skriver Matteus disse ordene inntil.
He brings righteousness and judgment to this earth.
Inntil han bringer rettferdighet og dom til denne verden.
Then he's going to destroy these false hopes.
Da skal han knuse disse falske håpene.
Who was a bruised reed? Is that some lady in a nursing home?
Hvem er dette her knekta strå? Er det en stakkars dame på gamlehjemmet?
No, it's the Pharaoh of Egypt, read the Old
Testament.
There's a plan where God will one day impose his Messiah on this world. And until that day, the Son sits at the right hand of God. And while he's sitting there, the word is being sowed in the world.
Så blir ordet sådd rundt omkring I verden.
And the enemy is sowing the tares in the world.
Og fienden han sår agner I verden.
And good and evil grow together.
Og godt og vondt vokser sammen.
Well, shouldn't we tear out the tares?
Ja, men skal vi ikke rive opp ugresset?
No, no. They shall grow, Matthew 13, until.
Nei, i Matteus 13 så står det at de skal vokse inntil.
He sends out his angels.
Han sender ut englene sine.
And they will gather out of his kingdom the tares and everything that's wicked.
Skal de rydde ut av riket hans alt ugresset.
You see, for many people, it's hard to believe on a God who loves us when they hear words like Auschwitz or Srebrenica.
Du ser det at det er folk som synes det vanskelig å tro på en Gud som elsker oss når de hører ord som Auschwitz eller Srebrenica.
How could God allow that? Why doesn't he punish it now?
Hvordan kunne Gud tillate det? Hvorfor straffer han ikke nå?
No, God's plan is Messiah is at the right hand of God.
Nei, Guds plan er Messias sitter ved Guds høyre hånd.
Waiting for the time where his enemies will be put down.
Og venter på den tiden når fiendene skal bli lagt ned.
When he comes.
Når han kommer.
But then the verse goes on.
Og så fortsetter verset.
Not only is the Messiah David's son, but greater than David.
Ikke bare er Messias Davids son, han er også større enn David.
Not only has he ascended on high,
ikke bare har han steget opp I det høye,
waiting for the time we're to come in judgment,
og venter på den tiden han skal komme I dom,
but at this present time,
men på, I dette øyeblikk,
we read in verse 4,
så det som I vers 4,
the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
Herren har sverget og angrer det ikke, du prest til evig tid på Melkisedeks vis.
And suddenly we're transported back into Genesis 14. What's all this about?
Og plutselig så vi tilbake I 1. Mosebok 14.
Now perhaps, having grown up in a Christian church, singing these wonderful songs that we sing.
Men kanskje har vokst opp I en kristen menighet og sunget alle disse flotte sangene som vi synger.
Reading your Bible.
Og lest Bibelen.
Being well taught.
It's
not doesn't seem strange to you that Jesus Christ would be a priest.
Så virker det ikke så merkeligt for deg at Jesus Kristus skulle være en prest.
But you see, that had to be done in an orderly way.
Men det måtte gjøres på ordentligt vis.
When we read the book of Hebrews,
hvis vi leser Hebreerbrevet,
well, we find in chapter 5,
så finner vi I kapittel 5,
that Aaron was a priest.
At Aaron var prest.
But Aaron just didn't wake up one morning and yawn and say, I think I'd like to become a priest.
Det ikke sånn at Aaron vakner en morgen og så gjesper han og sier, jeg kunne tenkt meg å bli prest.
Verse 4, chapter 5. No one takes the honor to himself.
I kapittel 5, vers 4, ingen tiltar seg denne verdigheten selv.
But receives it when he's called of God.
Men blir kalt. Men han ble kalt av Gud.
And the writer's taking us back to the book of Moses, where Aaron is called of God to be a priest.
Og forfatteren tar oss tilbake til Moseboken, der Aaron ble kalt til å være prest.
And Christ did not glorify himself to be a priest.
Og Kristus herliggjorde heller ikke seg selv og gjorde seg til prest.
And now the writer begins to lead us in a Bible study of Psalm 110.
Begynner forfatteren her å ta oss med på et bibelstudium av Psalm 110.
And if you want to learn to study the Old Testament, pay attention to what he's doing now.
Vil du lære å studere det gamle testamentet, så legg merke til det kan gjøre nå.
He says, he didn't just have the idea of becoming a priest himself. God said, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee.
Han fikk ikke ideen selv at han skulle være prest, men Gud sa, du min sønn, jeg født deg I dag.
Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
Og du skal til evig tid være prest av samme slag som Melchizedek.
Wow. God appointed him.
Gud utnevnte han.
But then he had to be qualified, didn't he?
Men han måtte jo være kvalifisert, måtte han ikke?
How would he qualify as a priest?
Hvordan skulle han være kvalifisert til å være prest?
To represent people like you and me.
Og representere
with all of our weaknesses.
Folk som meg og deg, med alle våre svakheter.
See Abraham.
Se Abraham.
People like him and worse.
Folk som han og verre folk.
What qualifies him to do that? To represent us, God, us before God.
Helt så kvalifiserer han til det. Det å representere oss framfor Gud.
Well, he says, well, he was a human like you.
Jo, sier han, han var et menneske sånn som deg.
And read what the text says. In the days of his flesh,
he
offered up prayers and supplications like a priest. But with loud crying and tears. And sweat, as it were, of drops of blood. Why? Although he was a son, he was learning something. He learned obedience through that which he suffered. This is really confusing, isn't it? If Jesus is God, and God knows everything, how can he learn? It's tough, isn't it? You know all the answers. How can you learn? Well, there are different kinds of learning. I can know that I shouldn't play with fire. You know that's Felix Pear, don't you? You don't play with fire. Well, my little granddaughter was in the hospital and almost lost the use of her hand.
Men barnbarnet mitt var havnet på sykehus og miste mest førligheten i hånden sin.
She learned you don't play with fire.
Hun lærte at du skal ikke leke.
Learn by experience.
Med erfaring.
You see, if you go to a priest in your weakness,
hvis du går til en prest i din svakhet,
expecting him to represent you to God,
og forventer at han skal representere deg framfor Gud,
he has to understand you.
Så må han forstå deg.
He has to understand what you're going through.
Han må forstå hva du gjennomgår.
You see, as God, the Son of God never had to learn obedience.
Som Gud, så måtte Guds sønn aldri lære lydighet.
He learned that in the days of his flesh.
Han lærte det i sitt kjøtt.
It was his preparation for being the perfect priest.
Det var hans forberedelser til å være den fullkomne presten.
And that's what it says in verse 9. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation.
Og det er det som står i vers 9, da han hadde nådd fullendelsen, ble han opphav til evig frelse for alle dem som
aner. Because he's designated as a priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
Han som av Gud blir kalt øverste prest av samme slag som Melchizedek.
And you're hearing this and perhaps you're saying this sounds difficult. How is this going to work out in practice?
Så hører du dette, så tenker du, dette høres vanskelig ut. Hvordan skal dette funke i praksis?
I want to tell you something about learning.
Og jeg skal fortelle deg noe om å lære.
Something that people like Frode and Marie Christine know and some of the rest of you.
Sånne ting som Frode, Marie Christine og andre av dere vet.
You need a good lærer.
Du trenger en god lærer.
But that ain't the only part of the only factor in the equation.
Men det er ikke alle, det utgjør ikke den eneste faktoren i regnestykket.
Are those students hearing?
Hører eleverne?
Are they listening?
Lytter de?
Are they taking your work you give them a home and practicing and learning by experience?
Tar de leksene du gir dem med seg hjem, og så lærer de, øver og lærer med erfaring?
You could be the best teacher in the world and the students don't learn.
Du kan være den beste lærer i verden og studentene lærer fremdeles ingenting.
If they're not careful to listen and practice.
Hvis de ikke er nøye med å høre etter og øve.
So I'm going to tell you what I think the writer to the Hebrews experienced. He wrote it in chapter 5.
Så jeg vil fortelle deg hva jeg tror forfatteren av Hebreerbrevet opplevde.
Let me say it with my words.
La meg si det med mine ord.
You know, you people,
vet, folkens,
sometimes I could tear out my hair. I could strip off my clothes and throw myself out of the fifth story screaming. In frustration. The time is coming very, very soon.
For tiden kommer ganske snart.
Where you are going to be challenged in your faith like you've never dreamed of.
Når dere kommer til å bli sett på prøve i troen deres som dere aldri har drømt om før.
Your whole identity as Jewish people or as Christian people, everything will be turned upside down on its head.
Hele identiteten deres som jødiske folk eller som kristne folk vil bli snudd opp ned.
There are things that you desperately need to know to survive that test.
Det er noen ting som dere desperat trenger å vite for å bestå den prøven.
You should be teachers by now.
Dere burde være lærere nå allerede.
But you need to learn A, B, C all over again.
Men så må dere lære A, B, C en gang til.
How can I get through to you?
Hvordan kan jeg nå dere?
How can I reach you?
Hvordan kan jeg få tak I dere?
You need to understand what I'm going to say now, but I'm afraid you are incapable.
Dere trenger forstå det som jeg kommer til å si nå, men dere ikke I stand til det.
Because you have neglected your spiritual life.
Jeg redde for dere har forsømt deres åndelige liv.
Can you sense the frustration in the heart of the writer of this book?
Kjenner du frustrasjonen I hjertet til forfatteren av denne boken?
He said, we need to go on to greater things.
Han sier, vi må gå videre til større ting.
But you're all worried about repentance toward God. You know, that's a Jewish thing, you know.
Men dere fremdeles opptatt med omvendelse til Gud.
You know, baptisms, plural, that's a Jewish thing. Washings, cleansings.
Dåper I flertall, det jødiske ting, renselser.
Eternal judgment. You don't even think in terms of judgments for believers and judgments for the world and judgments for the dead.
Evig dom, dere tenker ikke engang I kategorier av dom for troende, dom for vantro og for verden.
And some of you,
og noen av dere,
know people, you know, they've heard the good word of God.
Noen av dere har hørt, det folk som har hørt Guds gode ord.
Maybe they were healed. They know the powers of the age to come.
Kanskje de ble helbreda. De kjente kraften I den kommende tidsalder.
They've even tasted of Christ, the heavenly gift.
Og det til med smakt av Kristus, den himmelske gave.
They've been partakers of the Holy Spirit. He's convicted them and pled with them to come to Christ.
Og de hadde fått del I den hellige ånd. Han hadde overbevist og tryglet dem om å ta imot Kristus.
And now they return to the Catholic, to the Judaism.
Så nå venter de tilbake til jødedommen.
You know it's impossible to renew them to repentance.
Vet du at det umulig å fornye ditt omvendelse?
And some of you are thinking of doing that.
Og noen av dere tenker på å gjøre det.
You're still caught up in all that stuff. The ABCs.
Dere fremdeles fanger I alt dette greiene I ABC-en.
How do you mean impossible, writer? Okay, he said there's two kinds of ground here.
Han sier det to sorter jordsmonn her.
You pour, it rains water and sun shines on one kind of ground, it produces good fruit.
Det kommer regn og solskinn på en sort jord, og da kommer god frukt.
It rains on the other piece of ground, and it's thorns and thistles.
Og det regner på den andre sorten jord, og så kommer det.
Well, let it rain again, so it rains again.
Ja, du lar det regne igjen.
Thorns and thistles.
Det blir torner og tistler.
It rains more, bigger thorns and thistles.
Og så regner det mer, så blir det større torner og tistler.
He said, you know what? God has run out of ammunition.
Sier, vet du hva? Gud har gått tom for ammunition.
Did you know God could run out of ammunition?
Visste du at Gud kan gå tom for ammunition?
This is all he has.
Dette alt han har.
The good word of God, the gospel.
Det gode Guds ord, evangeliet.
The Holy Spirit.
Den hellige ånd.
Christ himself.
Kristus selv.
And in some cases even miracles to get you to look at these things.
Og noen tilfeller til med mirakler så vil jeg at du får deg til å se på disse tingene.
What do these people need? More gospel? They don't believe it.
Trenger disse folk, trenger de mer evangeliet.
More Christ? They would crucify him if he came again today.
Mer Kristus, de vil ha korsfestet han hvis han kommer igjen I dag.
No. Not more rain. That would just mean more thistles.
Nei, ikke mer regn. Det ville bare bety mer tistler.
But when I think about you,
men når jeg tenker på dere,
the majority of you,
flertall av dere,
he says, I'm convinced of better things, things that pertain to salvation.
Så jeg overbevist om bedre ting, ting som hører til frelse.
Okay, you're a bunch of weak believers.
Ja,
I just said it.
Dere en gjeng med svake troende, det har jeg nettopp sagt.
You're still learning to read when you should be a teacher.
Okay.
But God is not unjust to forget the good things you've done.
Men okay, men Gud är inte urättfärdig, så han glömmer det de har gjort.
And your love for the people.
Och deras kärlek till folk.
Boy, I love that verse. I don't know what you think.
Jag älskar detta vers. Jag vet inte vad du säger.
Sometimes I lay awake at night.
Och av och till ligger vaken om natten.
And I think of the things at night, hours long. I slept last night for 2 hours.
Och jag tänker på ting om natten i timmar. Jag sov 2 timmar i natt.
I have a problem sleeping. Okay.
Jag har problem med att sova.
And you're laying awake and you start thinking of all the unkept promises.
Och så ligger du vaken och så tänker du på alla löftebrott.
The tennis players you should have witnessed to.
De tennisspelarna som du borde ha vittnat för.
The man you wanted to visit.
Mannen som du ville besöka.
And he died before you got there again.
Och så dör han för du kom där igen.
The mistakes you made with the children.
Felen du har gjort med ungarna dina.
The foolish things you've said.
De dumma ting du har sagt.
And then I come back to a verse like this. God is not unjust to forget.
Gud är inte orättfärdig, så
the good that you've done.
Det goda du har gjort.
And the love that you've shown.
Och kärligheten som du har visat.
And he says, by the way.
Och förresten.
These are scary verses, aren't they?
Det är skrämmande verser, är det inte?
Yeah, Hebrews 6, you know, scary
6.
Verses.
Skrämmande vers.
He says, I think it's there's better things concerning you.
Han säger att jag tänker bättre ting när det gäller dig.
And I want you to realize that God made a promise.
Och jag vill att du ska förstå att Gud gjorde ett löfte.
And he wanted Abraham to understand he was going to fulfill that promise.
Och så ville han att Abraham skulle förstå att detta löfte skulle han uppfylla.
So he did what people sometimes did. He swears.
Och så gjorde han det som folk av och till gör. Han svärger.
Who's God going to swear by?
Vem ska Gud svärga?
No, I swear by Fruta.
Jag svärger på Fruta.
So Fruta guarantees that God's going to do what he says. That don't work, man.
Garantin på att Gud gör det han har sagt. Nej.
God swore by himself.
Gud svarar med sig själv.
And he will not change his mind.
Och han kommer inte att skifta mening.
He said, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply you.
Nej, han sa sannolikt, jag vill välsigna dig och göra dig ett rike.
And I want you to understand the unchangeable of God's purpose also toward Abraham, but also toward you.
Och jag vill att du ska förstå Guds uföränderliga hänsikt med det.
He said, you know, we fled for refuge.
Han säger att vi har tagit vår tillflykt.
That's what we did, you know, refuge from the wrath of God.
Och det är det man har gjort, man flyktar ifrån Guds vrede.
When the people fled to the city of refuge.
När folk flyktade till en tillflyktsstad.
So they wouldn't be killed by the avenger. How long did they have to stay there?
Så snart de inte skulle bli dräpt av blodhämnaren. Hur länge blev motstånd?
Does anybody know?
Är det någon som vet det?
Until the high priest dies.
So
the high priest living protects me from the avenger.
Så länge ypperstepresten lever så beskyttar han mig mot blodhämnaren.
And I can go back to Judaism as soon as the high priest dies.
Och så kan jag gå tillbaka till judendomen och plötsligt så dör ypperstepresten.
Must have really been hard on these people, you know.
De må vara ganska tufft.
They hear the call to worship in the synagogue, but they've been kicked out, and man, they've been kicked out of their home and their church and everything. They'd like to go back.
Tillbe synagogen, men de blir spänt ut av synagogen av himmarna sina.
When can you go back?
Kan de kan du gå tillbaks?
Look at the next verse.
Så det nästa verset.
This hope we have is an anchor to our soul. It enters within the veil. Where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
Detta hopp är ett tryggt och fast anker för själen. Det når innanför forhänget dit Jesus gick in som förlöpare för oss, han som till evig tid har blivit överstepräst av samma slag som Melchizedek.
So when's the high priest going to die?
Kanske att de dör översteprästen.
When do you go back to your old religion?
Kanske går du tillbaka till den gamla religionen.
Never.
Aldrig.
You have sought refuge.
Du har sökt tillflykt.
Hold fast.
Häll fast.
Your priest is alive.
För din präst lever.
And we're about to see in the next talk.
Och i nästa timme så kommer vi att se.
Well, maybe if I could talk for 10 minutes, I can finish it in this talk. Is that okay? Then we're finished with Melchizedek.
Hvis jag kan få snacka i 10 minuter, så kan vi göra oss färdiga med Melchizedek. Är det grejt?
Freedom on. Okay. But let's go back to Genesis. And the writer goes back there.
Så da skal vi gå tilbake til første Mosebok. Forfatteren gjør det.
And I want to summarize for you chapter 7, this Melchizedek guy.
Så la meg oppsummere for deg kapittel 7, denne Melchizedek
guy. He says, I want to talk about the meaning of his name.
Han sier at jeg vil snakke om betydningen av navnet hans.
Now I know that some theologians think it's really childish to look at the meaning of people's names in the Old Testament.
Og jeg vet at det noen teologer som synes det var som barnslig å se på betydningen av folks navn i det gamle testamentet.
I have to be honest, I don't look up all those names.
Jeg skal være ærlig med det, jeg slår ikke opp alle.
I mean, I know what Meher Halashaspas means.
Jeg vet hva Meher Halashaspas betyr.
Swift to the booty, speedy to the prey. I know what Kushan Rishathaim means. The dark prince of double wickedness.
Den mørke fyrste av dobbel ondskap.
I will guarantee you his parents didn't baptize him that way. That's what the Jews called him.
Men det var det jødene kalte han.
I know the prophetess, the wife of Isaiah, had a little baby and called him Emmanuel. And before he got to eat adult food, Assyria had already destroyed Samaria and Damascus, as the prophecy said. But sometimes we're not really entirely sure about what those names mean. You look at five different lexica, they have five different meanings. So be careful. But when you read the Old Testament, you might look at some of the names.
Men når du leser det gamle testamentet, så kan du ikke se noen av
navnene. When it says, and they called the place, and they give a special name for an event.
Okay? Og spesielt når det står at de kalte stedet, og så gir det et spesielt navn i forbindelse med en hendelse.
Now this mysterious guy, his name was, or title was, the rightful king.
Men denne mystiske personen, navnet hans, eller titlen hans, var den rettmessige konge.
That's what people call him. He's the rightful king.
Det var det folk kalte han. Han den rettmessige kongen.
Well, the writer of the Hebrews looks at that and he says, well, you can translate that the king of righteousness just as well. And that's the way he does it.
Og når forfatteren av Hebreerbrev ser det, så sier han at du kan oversette det like godt, oversette det med rettferdighetskonge. Og det
and he was the king of Salem.
Og så var han konge i Salem.
And Salem means peace.
Og Salem betyr fred.
Oh, wait a minute.
Og vent litt.
The king of righteousness.
Rettferdighetskonge.
The king of peace.
Fredskonge.
Wow, that's cool.
Thank you.
And then he says,
for
this he was returned, he says, to whom also Abraham gave one-tenth of all the spoils, was first of all, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, then King of Salem.
Så sier han at han som Abraham gav tiende av alt, han var først
all he's doing is reading his Old Testament. And as he studies his Old Testament, he sees the meaning of the two titles, and he sees the order of the two titles. First the King of Righteousness, then the King of Peace. Well, what difference does it make? When I was a little kid, I was Fred Colvin. When I was in the army, I was Colvin Fred. Yeah, but who cares what I'm called? Why first righteousness, then peace? Because that's the only way you'll have peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified, righteousness by faith, we have peace. You know, one of our presidents, Jimmy Carter,
he got a
Nobel Peace Prize. You know, right? Crazy Norwegians did that. That was even worse than a Barack Obama. He hadn't done a thing. He got a Nobel Peace Prize just to encourage him to do something. He hadn't done a darn thing yet. So But Carter was really a travesty because he wanted peace.
For han ville fred.
He didn't care about justice.
Men han brydde seg ikke om rettferdighet.
You look at some of the things he negotiated and the murderers who got away with terrible things.
Men se på noen av de tingene han forhandlet fram, og se på morderne som gikk fri.
Think of Tony Blair.
Tenk på Tony Blair.
Tony Blair said about Northern Ireland,
han sa om Nord-Irland,
we do not want justice.
Vi vil ikke ha rettferdighet.
We want reconciliation.
Vi vil ha forsoning.
What?
Hva?
Without guilty parties facing up to justice for what they did?
Uten at de er skyldig må stå til rette for det de har gjort.
Peace without justice?
Fred uten rettferdighet.
Well, how would that be?
Hvordan skulle det være?
I'm saved, okay?
Jeg frelst.
Good. You know, it doesn't matter if it's just, you know, I got peace with God, that's cool.
Jeg har ikke noe å si om det er rettferdigt eller ikke. Jeg har fred med Gud, og det er kult.
Oh, do you mean you have real peace?
Du sikker på at du har virkelig fred?
Are you sure you're going to be saved tomorrow?
Sikker på at du kommer til å være frelst i morgen?
Why are you sure you're going to be saved tomorrow?
Hvorfor du sikker på at du skal bli frelst i morgen?
Because justice was served.
For at rettferdigheten skjedde fullest.
Because Jesus died on the cross.
For Jesus døde på korset.
To carry out righteousness.
For å utrette rettferdighet.
He's one day going to be the Prince of Peace over this whole world.
Og han skal en gang være fredsfyrsten over hele denne verden.
But as the psalm and as Hebrew repeat, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a throne of righteousness.
Salmisten sier, og Hebreerbrevet gjentar,
that's the basis of your kingdom.
En trone, en rettferdighetstrone. Det grunnlag for ditt rike.
And then he goes back to the Old Testament.
Og så går han tilbake til det gamle.
He says, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither of the beginning of days or end of life.
Og så går han tilbake og sier han uten far og uten mor, uten slektstavla, uten dagers begynnelse.
He just looks at the Old Testament and said, God must have beamed him down, man.
Han ser bare på det gamle testamentet og sier han, Gud må ha beamet han ned.
Now, he didn't know about Star Trek. Okay?
Star Trek.
No, when he reads his Old Testament,
men han leser det gamle testamentet,
he's very careful to see what is said exactly.
Så han voldsomt nøye med å se hva blir helt nøyaktig sagt her.
What it means exactly.
Hva betyr det helt nøyaktig?
In which order it's written.
Hva rekkefølge det
exactly,
er nøyaktig?
But what would you expect in the description of a priest?
Men hva vil du forvente i beskrivelsen av en prest?
To be a priest,
for å være en prest,
you have to have a genealogy.
Så må du ha en slektstavle.
Matthias begat Hans Jakob and Peter.
Matthias fikk Hans Jakob og Peter.
Oh, that's something else. Felix Peter begat Oscar Magnus.
Felix fikk Oscar Magnus.
Begat Hannah and Miriam. they did something. And Matthias and Oscar Magnus came along. And my father is Peter, the son of Oscar Magnus.
Peter, son of Oscar
Magnus. And my name's Ruben.
Og mitt navn er Ruben.
And I'm priest.
Og jeg prest.
That's the way you have to do it.
Det den måten
you have to have a genealogy.
Du må ha en slektstavle.
You have to trace back your family all the way back to Aaron.
Du må kunne spore din familie, din slekt, helt tilbake til Aaron.
The brother of Moses.
Broren til Moses.
Whose family was installed as a priest.
Som fikk sin familie innsett som prest.
And here's a priest.
Og her en prest.
You never hear of his birth.
Og har hørt ingen.
Somebody begat Melchizedek.
En eller annen fødte Melchizedek.
You never heard of his death.
Du hører ingenting om døden hans.
Doesn't mean that he wasn't born.
Det betyr ikke at han ikke ble født.
Doesn't mean he didn't die.
Det betyr heller ikke at han ikke
dør. It's just not written in the Bible.
Men det står ingenting om det i Bibelen.
And every priest we know about in the Old Testament, those details are written.
Men om alle prester vi kjenner til i det gamle testamentet.
And they have a genealogy. He has no genealogy.
De har slektsregister, men her er det ikke det.
Wow. It's almost as though he were made like the Son of God.
Det er mesten som han ble gjort lik Guds sønn.
He has no beginning.
Som har ingen begynnelse.
And no end.
Og ingen ende.
He's a priest perpetually. He abides that way.
Han en prest til evig tid. Han blir.
And think about how great he was.
Tenk på hvor stor han var.
Abraham comes back with all his loot.
Abraham kommer tilbake med alt godset sitt.
He doesn't keep one penny.
Han beholdt ikke en.
But he gives this stranger, this priest, 10%.
Men så gir han denne fremmede, denne presten, 10%.
Must have been an important man.
Det må ha vært en viktig mann.
Priest of the Most High God.
Prest for den høyeste Gud.
But who is greater, the one who pays the 10% or the one who receives the tithe?
Men hvem er større, han som betaler 10% eller han som får 10%?
You say, are you saying that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham?
Sier du at Melchizedek er større enn Abraham?
He says, I'm not only saying that.
Det er ikke bare det jeg sier.
I'm saying that Levi and Aaron were potentially in Abraham as he did that.
Men jeg vil si at Levi og Aaron var potensielt i Abraham når han gjorde dette.
And so, the priesthood of Christ is greater than the Old Testament priesthood.
Så Kristi prestedømme er større enn det gamle testamentlige prestedømme.
Next question.
Neste spørsmål.
You know, the trouble is, when you read of a new priesthood, what's that saying?
Problemet er når du leser om et nytt prestedømme, hva er det du sier?
Well, it means that the old one wasn't satisfactory.
Det betyder att det gamla inte var tillfredsställande.
Would you buy a new car if you were satisfied with the old car?
Vill du ha köpt en ny bil om du var nöjd med den gamla?
Would you? Well, that's a bad illustration. The fact that God speaks prophetically of a new priesthood shows that the old priesthood doesn't really lead us to perfection.
Det att Gud profetiskt talar om ett nytt prästedöme betyder att det gamla inte leder oss till fullkomlighet.
But there was a problem.
Det var ett problem.
Jesus was of the tribe of Judah.
Jesus
and there is no priesthood of Judah.
Judas stamme, og det ikke noen prester i den stammen.
That's why God said, I have made you a priest perpetually according to the order of Melchizedek.
Og det derfor Gud sier at jeg har gjort deg til prest til evig tid etter Melchizedek.
The next problem.
Slag.
You go to the temple to worship.
Neste problem, du går til tempelet for
å tilbe. You want to bring a peace offering.
Og så vil du bringe et fredsoffer.
But you think about your life.
Så tenker du på livet ditt.
And you really think, you know, I should really bring a sin offering too.
Så tenker du at jeg burde ha med meg et syndoffer også.
So you go to the priest and you talk to the priest about your sins.
Og så går du til presten og snakker med han om syndene dine.
Now that is a very, very personal thing. Okay?
Og det er en voldsom, voldsom personlig ting.
So you tell your wife, I'm really looking forward to seeing Matthias. Matthias is such an understanding old priest. I really appreciate that old brother.
Säger du till konen att jag ser fram
emot. I wouldn't talk to anybody but Matthias.
Matthias, han är en sån förståelsefull präst. Jag är så glad i den här brodern. Jag vill inte snacka med någon annan än Matthias.
Where's Matthias?
Var är Matthias henne?
Oh, he died.
Ja, han är död.
Oh my. That's a weakness of that kind of priesthood, isn't it?
Det är en svaghet med den slags prästedöme.
The next weakness is
priests
sin. You see, the priest has to offer an offering for himself before he can offer an offering for you.
Prästen må offra för sig själv för han kan offra för dig.
And so I summarize the last of the chapter.
Så jag uppsummerar slutet av kapitlet.
He said, "Thou art a priest forever."
Du är präst till evig tid.
The basis of his priesthood is not the weakness of a mortal man.
Grundlaget för hans prästedöme är inte ett dödligt människas svaghet.
Or a sinful man.
Eller ett syndigt människas.
He is able to save you forever and to the very end, verse 25.
Men han är i stand till frälsa dig för evigt och helt till det yttersta, vers 25.
Because he always lives to represent you.
For han lever alltid for å representere deg framfor Gud.
Now that was long, wasn't it?
Det var lenge.
But here's the point.
Men her er poenget.
You desperately need him. You may not know it.
Du trenger det desperat. Du vet det gjerne ikke.
You may be tempted.
Det kan hende du blir fristet.
You may be tried.
Kan du bli sett på prøve.
But there's someone who understands you.
Men det er noen som forstår deg.
As a human being, he has learned obedience.
Som et menneske har han lært lydighet.
And he will paint before your eyes the living God.
Og han kommer til å male framfor øynene dine den levende Gud.
The God Most High.
Den høyeste Gud.
When Satan accuses you,
og når Satan anklager deg,
he'll say, wait, Father.
Så vil han si, vent litt, far.
I am the righteous advocate.
Jeg er den rettferdige talsmann.
I paid for these sins with my blood.
Jeg har betalt for disse syndene med mitt blod.
Father, I want to remind you of that.
Far, jeg vil minne deg om dette.
And he will stick by you.
Og han vil stå med siden din.
And save you to the uttermost.
Og frelse deg til det ytterste.
I don't know if that sounds abstract to you.
Jeg vet ikke om det høres abstrakt ut for deg.
Or maybe you're so dull of hearing, it sounds, you know, I knew that anyway.
Kanskje du er blitt så sløvet å høre at du tenker, ja, det gjør det uansett.
If that's your reaction, you need to go home and repent.
Hvis det reaksjonen, så må du gå hjem og omvende.
You have no idea of the dangers lurking, wishing to destroy your life.
For du har ingen idé om alle farene som lurer og vil ødelegge livet ditt.
You have no idea of the hateful traps that are a very real part of your future.
Du har ingen idé om alle hatefulle fellene som ligger i fremtiden.
You need a living priest.
Du trenger en levende prest.
Who comes to you in time of need.
Så kommer til deg i nødens stund.
Who reminds you of the glories of your salvation.
Og minner deg på herligheten i din frelse.
Gives you a vision of why God saved you and where you're headed.
Og gir deg et syn av hvorfor Gud frelste deg og hvor du skal hen.
And who paints before your eyes God the Most High.
Og maler for øynene dine den høyeste Gud.
The possessor of heaven and earth.
Hans eget himmel og jord.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a pause.
Thank you.